10 years of OK Radio repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Goblin.
I see that you're the designated driver. I bet you were with your relatives this weekend, and every second you wished you could drink.
This is the show that's setting the trend. Across the nation, it's setting the trend. It's the bright, exciting sound of Sterling Every Damn Night.
Sterling Every Damn Night.
You know, I do such a weird show. I don't hear anything that goes on the air before it goes on the air, including the jingles. That is a great jingle, Sean. Hold on to that. Let's play that excessively tonight. Let's play it too many times. What a good jingle that is. I never talk about the jingles because if I do, then they're not cool. That was a special moment. All right, I'm going to talk to Dutch now. Dutch is a barber in Chagrin Falls, Ohio. Chagrin Falls, Ohio, where the Taylor Swift and Kelce clan were actually looking at homes to buy, which makes perfect sense because you have never seen more beautiful homes than in Chagrin Falls, and they'd really prefer for it to be a secret. And one of the secrets is Dutch's barbershop. Dutch, welcome to Sterling Every Damn Night.
Hey, Walt, how you doing, bud?
I'm honored to talk to you. And you had quite the honor this week. You had maybe the greatest honor a barber could have. Why don't you tell us that story, Dutch? Share that story with us.
Sure. It's back to school week, you know, so we're packed with kids and we're in there and we're cutting as fast as we can and getting these guys out. And the door opens and this old man comes in, and I mean, he's old. He's got a walker. He's ancient. And I'm looking at the guy and his son's behind him, and he's staring at the line in front of him. And I know what's going through his mind, you know, how long has he got to wait? So I look over at him and his son and I smile and I said to his son, I said, oh, you guys are the guys that called, right? You guys called ahead of time. And his son looked at me and I gave him a wink and he smiled. He said, yeah, that was us. So I said, yeah, I'll get you right in. And I put him right in my chair and I'm talking to this guy. His name was Bob. He turns out he's 100 years old. And he was getting cleaned up because he was heading to Hawaii for an honor flight. He was a surviving member above the on the Missouri. And it turns out it's the 80th anniversary of the surrender. And I'm sitting there going, holy cow. I was kind of choked up. I didn't even know what to talk about whatsoever. So I just let him do the talking. And he was telling me stories on how when they rolled into Tokyo Bay, he was on the bow of the boat because he was one of the bigger guys and they wanted the big guys on the front of the boat to look imposing, you know, when they signed the treaty. And I just, you know, we don't have that many guys left anymore. When I started working there years ago, we had a bunch of those guys and they're, you know, he's the first one I've seen in a while. So I was very choked up. I was very impressed with the whole thing, you know, and I felt, you know, it was one of the highlights of my career for sure.
Absolutely. And for obvious reasons, they could go wherever they wanted. They chose your barbershop. And I say the reason that they chose your barbershop is it's one of the few, maybe the only barbershop in America that still has chairs for men. The chairs in your barbershop, I go there when I have to visit my in-laws. The chairs in your barbershop are not those little Barbie chairs that feel like they're going to fall apart underneath the muscles of a real man. Those are barber chairs. What year did those chairs show up there?
1959. Those are Paydars, and they're the original chairs, and they're still holding up. It's kind of funny because I have to go online every now and then. You know, what you put your foot on there, when you get into my chair, that is called a foot rest, okay? It's not called a foot stand. And what will happen is we get these big guys occasionally, and, you know, guys are a lot bigger than they were in the 50s now, and they will stand on that metal piece and snap the bracket. It's happened. And so I've had to actively track down brackets to fix that when it happens, you know. Luckily now, if a guy is bigger, I've learned to say, hey, do me a favor. Don't stand on that. Sit in a chair. Put your feet on it, you know. It's getting harder Dutch to find the parts, Walt.
Dutch the barber, he owns and operates a real barber shop, which begs this question. I've noticed that there's some of us who bring you food, that bring donuts or other treats that your crew seems to like. Does that
yes.
result in better service, or suddenly you're at the head of the line? Is that possible, Dutch?
No, you know what? You can kind of butter us up all you want. You don't get to the head of the line, but we do a thing called the Muggy Award every year, where we take a guy who we deem is, the worthy of the recipient of the Mug and Brush Man of the Year Award. And I tell you, bringing us food definitely plays into that right there, because I think every guy that's gotten it so far, with the exception of one, has been somebody who regularly brings us food. So it definitely
now is there a food preference? Is there a food preference among your crew?
No, donuts
are easy, but to go beyond donuts, you better be right.
Well, no. See, my guy, you've heard of vegans, right? You know what a vegan is, right?
Horrible, well, horrible people.
Yes,
horrible.
Right. Well, my guys are freegans. Anything that's free, they'll eat. It doesn't matter. We're freegans.
That is the same as people who are on the air. If anybody wants to get on the air on any radio show, all you have to do is bring brownies, donuts, baked goods. If you happen to be a blonde woman and you show up with brownies that you've made, you'll be on the air for 6 days.
I love it.
Dutch, you're the best. Thank you very much for being on Sterling every damn Sunday. Good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and I'm with you every Sunday from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern. 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern. What does that mean? That means that this is a three-hour show. And if you're listening, for example, to Paul Vandenberg's station in Albany, a man I love and respect, but Paul cuts us off at midnight. I become a eunuch at midnight in Albany. I think it's time to get it on till 1 o'clock, Paul. And if anybody else running radio stations would like to be humiliated, hope that I don't find that you're only running two of these 3 hours, because it's one lousy day a week. It's not a big deal. And we've proven ourselves. Do you realize this show, Sterling Every Damn Sunday, has been on the radio for 11 years. It has been on the air for 11 years. And people at our home station, WPHT in Philadelphia, they look around, they go, what do you mean he's been on 11 years? Yeah, I've been on 11 years. Half the time that Dom Giordano's been on, the Midday Star, noon to 3 on WPHT.
Hey now, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I talk about one NYPD commander who couldn't see the forest through the trees. Coming up in moments on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Bad escape plan. Details later. The people of Walmart. Sterling Every Damn Night.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. A cat showed up at our house. It won't leave. So I guess we own a cat?
It won't leave because you're feeding it.
Coming up on Sterling Every Damn Night.
The library closed. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling Every Damn Night.
When you probably should be sleeping, that's when Walter comes creeping. Just turn off the light, 'cause it's Sterling Every Damn Night. If you hear a bunch of complaining and a lot of mansplaining, your dial is set right. It's Sterling Every Damn Night.
All right, good evening. It's 10:20 in the East Coast, 10:20, 20 minutes past the hour, with Walter Sterling Every Damn Night. Yes, we're on every night. Now, this station is probably only airing us on Sunday night. That's because all of the geniuses who should get together and make a simple decision that says, oh, yeah, why don't we make him available to everybody? They haven't made that decision. Do you know why? They have no sex. These are people who are stopped up in every way, and it affects their brain. It affects their brain and their decision-making power. Why, you know, in the olden days, radio was run by gunslingers. In fact, in some cases, it was like literally gunslingers. Gene Autry used to own the great broadcaster and cowboy, America's cowboy, Gene Autry, used to own giant radio stations, huge freaking radio stations. And you know how Gene made decisions? Do you think he called research? Do you think he gathered a meeting with salespeople? No. He said, this is what we're going to do, partner. Hey, you better sell it, or I'll get someone who will. That's how he made decisions. That's how they all made decisions. And that's why the medium grew every year. And when they, and you know who they are because you work with them too, when they started to put a premium on meetings rather than decisions, a premium on research rather than decisions, a premium on groupthink rather than decisions, business started to slow. Because what people buy, other businesses, human beings, what we're all attracted to is the shiny thing, something new. Money goes to new. Smart money stays with what works, but new money, which is most of it, goes to what's shiny and new. Because what shiny and new will do, that sounds like a Dr. Seuss book. What shiny and new will do, said Morton in the zoo, with his silly hat, looking at both of you. Wow, that's actually a pretty good Dr. Seuss line. Excuse me, I have to go pursue my new career now. Mimicking Dr. Seuss, who, by all reports, was actually quite the character, in not the best way, according to his wife. Just a thought. What attracts an audience to radio or TV is new. Oh, that's new. That's cool. That's really interesting. That's what gets them to talk. And a retailer with any common sense knows that you and I are attracted to shiny. We're attracted to shiny. We're going to go to something that's new. We'll try it once, twice, maybe not 10 times, but we'll try something new because it's new for the heck of it.
Well, you know, mostly people are attracted to like conservative things.
In the long run, they'll go to McDonald's. But, gee, that's a new hamburger. That Five Guys, that new hamburger Five Guys, shouldn't we try that? And then you try that and go, whoa, 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 whoa. You'll go back to McDonald's because there's no choice sometimes. Or maybe they have one thing like the French fries that you really want and you crave. Or the bizarre way soda always tastes better at a McDonald's, always tastes, Diet Coke's always better. You know why, don't you? You've read enough articles about why soda tastes better at McDonald's. It tastes better at McDonald's because they chill the syrup in the machine. You get out of a dispenser machine in almost any place else, you're getting the seltzer is chilled, but not the syrup. And the difference seems to be at McDonald's, they chill the syrup, and that makes the soda taste better. And also the volume is such, everything in there is fresh all the time, constantly fresh. That's why you go to McDonald's. You get an itch that only McDonald's can scratch. What a horrible thought. Terrible thought. But that is the challenge in your business and mine, that the minute the business goes from old Charlie, who was a gunslinger, and we're going to try that because I feel good about it, and you're going to sell it. I'll never forget when Howard Stern first went on the air, and the Stern stations, the ones that took him in syndication, everybody wondered, how are they going to sell this locally? How are you going to make any money with this? You know, retailers won't touch this. And in every Stern station, if I walked the sales floor, there would be one seller whose desk was a shrine to Howard Stern, had the puppets, the posters, the pictures, every Howard Stern thing was on this person's desk. And forgive me, but it was always a guy. He could sell Howard. And the CEO of the company that had Howard's show was a man named Mel Karmazin. And Mel Karmazin, you know, he was not a funny guy. If you wanted your money to grow, you give it to Mel. He'd make darn sure it would grow. He was that guy. Hanging out? No, you didn't want to hang out with Mel. No, you didn't. No. He was the CEO who actually read expense accounts. Now you got it. The one who read expense accounts, who would chat with you about them. Really? It cost you $48 for a taxi from that airport to that hotel? I have been at that airport. I have been at that hotel. My taxi didn't cost $48. As I recall, it was $18. Maybe you got it confused. Maybe it wasn't a four. You meant to write a one. That's who he was. And I'd look at the sales guy and I'd say, well, how come you're not having any trouble selling Howard and other people at other stations are having trouble selling Howard? And he said, Mel told us to sell it. And that was it. Mel told them to sell it. And that was that. Today, we have to bring in HR. And we have to bring in corporate finance. And shouldn't we do a little research on this idea? And if you want to kill anything, do a little research on it. Because I can research anything to a no. I could blame a no on anything you imagine. If it gets on, or the wrong executive, if it gets on Fred's desk, it's done. It's not gonna happen.
Hello, I'm Lee Harris.
Not gonna happen. This is nothing that I had written down for the second segment. What? Yeah, actually, I do write down what I'm going to do out of respect for you. There you are in the Sunday car. The Sunday car is not the one you take to work. It's the one you take to vacation or a long weekend or to the beach, down the shore, to the mountains, wherever your children want to go. Now that you're a father, you have no say. It's not up to you. It's up to the kids, and it's up to your wife or the woman who claims to be your wife or the woman who has filed to be the mother of your children, even though you don't really remember her, but it was the 80s. And there you are. There you are, your test of patience every week, driving them home. And it can be, it's usually terrible because at the end of a long weekend, they didn't have enough sleep. They're cranky. I want more food. I have no room. He keeps hitting me. Why does he keep hitting me? Why is she annoying me? That's the drive home. That romance that you and I had about having a family, the romance about having a family is tested when you get in that car. Walter M. Sterling, every damn Sunday.
Boom, boom, Hollywood, Sterling every damn night.
Look at that. The magic of technology has brought us Mateus from Boom Boom Hollywood, 3,000 plus miles away. Welcome, Father. Welcome,
well,
Mateus.
It's lovely to be here. You know, I have a feeling that Gene Autry may have used a consultant, one of the leading consultants of his career, Smiley Burnett, when making radio choices. What do you think?
Whatever you say, Mateus. Guys like Gene Autry, I couldn't imagine him sitting and watching a focus group. Could you?
No.
No. Gene just made a decision, and that's what happened. And he was so freaking smart running that radio company. He only bought technically premium properties. The stations he bought were pristine technically. And therefore, he gave himself the best chance. Gee, he was a showman. To this day, you realize that he recorded to this day the highest selling single record ever.
We're talking about Rudolph, aren't we?
The Red-Nosed Reindeer is the biggest selling single record ever. So he knew show business. He knew the audience, I would say.
Sure he did. I was just going to say the flip side was, if it doesn't snow on Christmas. It was cute because my 78 has the Columbia Lego and it's got a little Rudolph on the top of it with a red nose right at the top of the label. Anyway, I'm just digressing into minutia. Whistles only dogs can hear.
don't ever sell that record. That record must be worth a fortune.
I don't know. I mean, perhaps.
You have to go on Pawn Stars and find out.
I don't know if I can get past Chum Lee, but I'll try.
I think you should. The other thing I wanted to mention to you that's designed to bore a listener. I don't know. There's something else. I'll think of it after you give your movie review. How did the movies do this weekend? What was hot and what surprised you?
Well, I'm surprised that a movie that, well, first of all, the hot number movie is at $25 million so far this weekend. Weapons, which is a horror movie, which I didn't cover because I never watch horror movies because they scare me. I know that's a horrible reason, and most people want to be scared, and that's why they go to a horror movie. But Freakier Friday, a movie I thought was absolutely horrible in every respect, just garbage, came in at number two with $14 million. And I'll give you a review of Nobody 2, which just managed to make third place with $9.2 million over the weekend. Not a lot of people at the movies this week.
What was Nobody 2 about?
Well, you, I believe, have seen Nobody 1, which stars Bob Odenkirk, who was a hired assassin. And in that movie, he unfortunately decides to really irritate the Russian mobsters that he's been hired to rub out by burning all of their money. Well, someone picks up that debt, and poor Bob is having to pay back every single penny of all that money that went up in flames. And in this second movie, he's still paying off that debt and has to continue to do this work at the expense of his family, never seeing him or can't go anywhere on vacation with him or can't see his kid grow up and play football, all the things that a family father should be doing as his time allows from his day job. But this guy's day job of just wiping people out because he's a really good assassin just has to continue to operate throughout all this time that he should be spending with his family. So he's had it. He's had it. Odenkirk's character decides, no, I'm going to go on a vacation with my family. We're going to take Grandpa, played by Christopher Lloyd, his wife, Connie Nelson. They all come back from the first movie. It's also written by the guy who wrote the first movie, Derek Kolstad. And they're just going to try and have a good time. But do they? No. He picks a rundown amusement park he went to as a kid, try for that high-quality family time, and his knack for following trouble gets him in trouble again. He's in deep with local cops. One who's played by Colin Hanks, he's in trouble with a Shade Me amusement park operator, and a very mean and wild mobstress played by Sharon Stone. He's great. He's over the top. The whole movie's over the top. As a matter of fact, Walter, who knew violence could be so much fun? There's a lot of it here, stylized like an action movie in the 1970s, but it's all delivered with the tongue firmly planted in cheek. John Ortiz is in it, too, and Gage Monroe, he's a young kid that's been in a lot of horror movies, plays the son of Bob Odenkirk in the movie, and he does a pretty good job. I think he's been in movies like Tales of the Walking Dead and Hotel Transylvania. That was a TV series. So all in all, I thought it was pretty darn fun, but of course it's a very violent movie. So if you like that kind of thing and can laugh at violence, I think that you'll enjoy the Nobody 2.
I liked Nobody 1. And the fact that he has to work forever, no matter what, to pay back a debt, that's like Frankie Valli. So I think a lot of people can appreciate this story. And he's a great actor. He's like the most underrated actor. Everything he's in is a hit. We like to watch him. No one can pronounce his last name. His agent really made a mistake not saying you must change your name. Nobody can pronounce Odin, whatever that is. It's like Drawer or Rural. Nobody can pronounce those things. So he's on the list of Drawer and Rural and Odor what. And I'm not surprised at the success of whatever that is. What's that called, the Jamie Lee Curtis movie? What's it called?
The Freakier Friday.
Freakier Friday. I'm not surprised at the success of that because the people who saw Freaky Friday in the theater are at an age now where that is great nostalgia for them. That was the first, maybe for many of them, that was the first movie they saw or the first movie they could relate to or that they thought was really funny. In fairness, women like that movie much more than men. And so women have a movie that touches on nostalgia the way men have movies that touch on nostalgia. There are far more guy movies that appeal to their nostalgia. So I understand that. The concept is what drew them in. Of course, Lindsay Lohan and Jamie Lee Curtis in their twilight years making a comedy would not be a good movie. You know, they're near death now, and it would not be a good, a good movie.
Maybe not Lohan.
Not be a good movie. Well, you know, God bless her. We thought she was out. We thought she was down and out. That, you know, it was the ninth inning and she was done. And, like, nobody would hire her. But she seems to have pulled herself together and seems to be sober and drug-free. And God bless her. Good for her. Good for her.
Yeah, she did The Parent Trap in 98 and, of course, Freaky Friday. But there hasn't been a lot since then. I mean, a little TV here and there. But I'm glad. She's a lovely girl. It's nice to see her on the screen again.
Yes. All right, Matthias Boom Boom Hollywood, how do we find you on Facebook?
Matthias Bumballs Hollywood on Facebook, MATIASBOMBAL'S, Hollywood, like the city. So that's Matthias Bumballs Hollywood, Walter. Thank you so much.
Honored to have you on Sterling Every Damn Night. Good evening. It's Walter M. Sterling. That's what you're listening to, a live radio show, as you're driving back from the long weekend. You stole a Friday. You took Friday off. I know you did. And now you're regretting it because it meant you spent 3 days with your teenage children. Now you're in the big car and going home. And you're getting a review from your significant other. And she is explaining what you could have done better during the weekend, how you could have improved things. And the kids are in the back. They're on their iPads and their phones. And the ride home is usually really, really tough. That's what we're on, right? Okay. 10:45 on the East Coast, 45 minutes past the hour, Sterling every damn Sunday. Extra, extra, extra.
Hear all about it, strippers on the loose. Big raid in Houston. At the library on West T.C. Jester Boulevard. Yeah, the library, you see, not a library at all. Not a lot of book reading going on. No, it's apparently a sexually oriented business that's been doing its job for a long, long time. Apparently, though, without a liquor license, without the necessary permits. And, yeah, it's created all sorts of mayhem for the good people of Houston. Their website, by the way, is available now at libraryhouston.com. You see, at this sexually oriented business, they were serving the booze. They had apparently lots of, shall we say, interesting activities going on. And it was all without the government supervision. There's one thing we've learned about the government. We love our government to supervise us. We want our permits. We want to make sure that our sexually transmitted diseases are in a place that we can actually regulate. Yeah, regulating love. And that's what the people in Houston are all about. So this raid took place. A bunch of people arrested, including several quote-unquote adult entertainers. Also, they were serving booze. So I'm guessing the argument was they're hosting a party. Hosting a big old party. Yeah, and you could give a tip. And yeah, it's at a place that says it's a business, but it's not a business. The government's getting in the way of entrepreneurship. It's time to free strip clubs. To be able to entertain the gentlemen of the city of Houston or anywhere in the U.S. of A. Why do you need a permit? Just some good old-fashioned dancing and grinding. Dancing and grinding.
time to legalize it. From the Champagne Room, which is illegal, I'm Velo Hool, Strippers on the Loose, Sterling every damn night.
Hey now, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I talk about one NYPD commander who couldn't see the forest through the trees. Coming up in moments on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Bad escape plan. Details later. The people of Walmart. Sterling Every Damn Night.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. A cat showed up at our house. It won't leave. So I guess we own a cat?
It won't leave because you're feeding it.
Coming up on Sterling Every Damn Night.
W-W-W-W, somebody stop me. P-H-T-W-W-W-W, if you can top me. P-H-T, 2400 Market Street, 1210 on the dial. That powerful, powerful station with a 50-kilowatt smile. Yeah, Sterling every damn night, from sea to shining sea. This is W-W-W-W, somebody stop me. P-H-T.
All right, good evening. It's 10:53 on the East Coast on one of the last great summer weekends that we're going to have. And I know that one of the challenges of the summer weekend is the train of truth. It is usually on a weekend like this that the train of truth shows up. Do you hear it coming? Do you hear it? My God, ASMR on the radio. ASMR. There it is, that bright light shining at you. What time did it hit? About 1:30 on Saturday? 2:10 this afternoon? When did the train of truth appear to you? Because you're in summer clothes, and summer clothes are revealing. And there's leisure time, which means you're not thinking about tasks. We're not thinking about work. We're not thinking about things I have to do at home. No, we're able to actually look at our environment, at our surroundings. And what do we see? The significant other. But it's not the significant other that you first went out with. It's the significant other you're with now. And he was on the swim team when you met him. How would he do on the swim team today? Rush to the Cleveland Clinic? That would be my guess. There he is, in all his glory, in his swim trunks. Thank God he doesn't wear Speedos. In his swim trunks and his flip-flops. No Crocs for him, no sir. Preppy flip-flops. Fantastic. And the Hawaiian shirt that he insisted on bringing that you said, please don't wear that. And he's wearing it. He thinks it's funny. The kids think it's embarrassing. That's who you're with now. And you get to make a decision because this is America and not East Germany in the 70s. You get to make a decision, which is, do I spend more time with him? Or is it time to file papers? Because Kurt at work seems to really like me, you're thinking. Now, the kids aren't going to like it. He's a good dad. I mean, he's good enough. I don't know. I don't know what to do, because now you see the train of truth has delivered to you information about the person you're with right now. And the person you're with right now, not the person you went on the first date with. About 8 more inches on that waist, and doesn't seem as interested in closing a deal at night. Doesn't seem as interested as he should be. Both of you are on TikTok till you're too exhausted to keep your eyes open. That's what the marriage has become. And it's revealed in the sunlight of a summer weekend at the favorite lake, shore, beach, mountain. There it is. Game. There it is. The decision you and I have to make every week that we are visited by the train of truth. a little tight? Are those pants a little tight, honey? Shouldn't we get you pants that fit? If you have said this phrase to your husband, I say the marriage is over. The phrase is, aren't those pants a little tight? Shouldn't we get a new pair of pants, comma, honey? Your marriage is over. There's no more romance left in that marriage. If you're telling your husband that his pants are too tight and that he should buy new pants, you don't say, I'll get you a new pair. No, 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 no. You say, you need to get a new pair, hon, sweetheart. That's how you know the marriage is over. Just trying to be helpful here. I'm Walter Sterling. Every damn Sunday.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
Oh, you mean I have to make lunch for the kid every day again, starting tomorrow? I have to make the lunch again?
He don't spin records. Here we go. It's Walter Sterling. Every damn night. He's not uptight. He's always right. Radio 1210. Sterling calls with music. Talks with you. The latest, the greatest, and time and temperature too. So here comes Sterling, and here we go on WPHT Radio.
Philadelphia, 1108 on the West Coast. On the East Coast, at WGAN in Maine. On the West Coast, 808 with Walter Sterling. On KFBK, the giant number one radio station in Sacramento, run by the brilliant Bill White. The brilliant Bill White. How many times should I say it? Like, he's really brilliant. To take that radio station, a news station, a serious, serious news station, and keep it number one, there are very few like that.
Listen to 3-4 times a day. You give us 22 minutes, we'll give you the world.
I just play that because it's very satisfying to me personally.
You could have been getting down to this sick beat. My ex-man brought his new girlfriend. She's like, oh my God, I'm just gonna shake.
The last good song. The Dead Poets Society or whatever Poets Society thing is terrible. The album before that, terrible. The album coming out in October, the last showgirl or the showgirl or whatever, that is to stage her for a permanent Las Vegas residency. When I saw the Eras Tour, I'm like, this is a Vegas show. This is not some pop show. This isn't... it's not some show like that. It's a Vegas show. She did a Vegas show. She had all her stage work. Everything she needed to put on a Vegas show is right there in the Eras Tour. And now what is she doing? She's putting out an album that shows her sequined and dressed up like a showgirl. It is positioning her for Vegas. Genius. Because the muse has left her. I don't know if she knows it. Every popular artist gets maybe an album. Superstars get multiple albums. The Beatles had 10 years of albums, and then the muse left them. The Lennon songs, the McCartney songs, the Harrison songs, the muse left them. They are technically proficient, and therefore they could generate hits, quasi-hits, sort of hits. They could generate music. You and I can't, but they can. They're fine, but they're not glowing in the night sky. And Taylor Swift, I say three albums ago, this song.
You could have been getting down to this sick beat. My ex-man brought his new girlfriend. She's like, oh my God.
That was the last one. That was the last album. That was the last good album. She's all done now making, writing music. What she gets to do now is perform it in a spectacular way, which she did at the 174 performances of the Eras Tour. And I believe she'll get a permanent resident at a hotel casino in Las Vegas. They will pay her whatever money she asks for. She will save the strip. She'll be the reason Vegas has survived and thrived. And her boyfriend, fiance, Kelsey, and her will get a home in Chagrin Falls and a home in Kansas City. There's a dream. And a home in Beverly Hills and a home on the coast of Maine, coast of Massachusetts. Where? Kennyport. Where are they? In Maine or, yeah, where the breakers are. That place. That's where they're going to live. And she'll have that home in Vegas, huge home in Vegas, and she'll be very happy there, and she'll be able to perform, and people will pay outrageous amounts of money, far more than David Copperfield, and that will be her career. And brilliant. She's positioning herself. She's positioning herself so that her fan base, her Swifties, will say, oh, yeah, of course she's going to Vegas. That's great. It will not be a surprise. It will not be sudden. She won't be coming from Tribeca and doing things with the cool kids to going to Vegas. She is positioning herself to go to Vegas with an album called Showgirls. What the hell is that? That's what she's doing because she's smarter than us. She's smarter than anybody when it comes to social media. Taylor Swift, smarter than anybody when she's talking about social media. Any company in America, any brand, should have gone to Taylor and say, here's $25 million, teach us how to do social media. And she would have taught them because she got it. She was born at exactly the right moment with exactly the right tools to take advantage of social media in a way that whipped up a fan base, got them going, gotten them to love her, and she won. Really smart. But it isn't going to be on music. It's going to be on showmanship. And no one has better showmanship than Taylor.
You could have been getting down to this sick beat. My ex-man brought his new girlfriend. She's like, oh my God, I'm just going to shake.
Which brings me to this. It is notorious that if Taylor is attacked, her fan base, the Swifties, will attack whomever and whatever attacked Taylor. Well, why doesn't it work in the other way? Why doesn't her fan base celebrate those who support Taylor? I have always supported Taylor. I've always said what a great talent she is, how smart she is, how clever she is, and what great music she used to make. Why haven't I gotten the fan base of Swifties to say, listen to Sterling every damn Sunday? Listen to Taylor to Sterling every damn night. Why don't the Swifties whip it up for me? Because I'm supporting her. You'd beat me into the ground if I didn't support her. Why don't you support me? And go on all the vlogs, and say, you got to listen to Sterling every damn Sunday. This is the show that supports Taylor best. Not New Music Friday on Z100. This supports Taylor best because I'm able to get into the other audience, the audience which has money. You know, mom and dad listen to me on their drive home from these horrible long weekends with the family. They listen to me. Why don't they support me? Makes sense. I'd like to see on any one of the Taylor Swift blogs with the Taylor Swift Swifties, I want to see them write something great about Sterling every damn Sunday. That is a correct response. All right, Sterling on Sunday.
Gaffneys, meet the Gaffneys. They live in a 150-year-old house. They've got 8 kids. We don't have time to name them all. Sometimes Dan and Becky like to bicker, and it's always good for a snicker. When you're with the Gaffneys, you know it's Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night. It's Sterling every damn night. Ah!
I'm Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
So here we are telling you stories of living in our old house with our 8 kids.
And now, apparently, our new pet cat.
Of all the houses in the neighborhood, and there are many, this cat showed up at our house, would not leave, rubbing up against us like it was our long-lost friend. Never seen this cat in the neighborhood before. It's going up to our kids, going up to us, would not leave.
Very verbal cat, just meowing every single time it sees us, like it's our best friend, looking at us like it's looking for its long-lost family or something.
We asked around. Nobody knows the cat. You posted about it on Facebook.
I posted multiple times about this cat. Does anyone know this cat? We had one woman that claimed it was her cat. Clearly it wasn't. There were pictures and it didn't match up. Now I almost wish I had just said, you know what, ma'am? It's your cat. I'll drop it off at your house.
We're not cat people.
In fact, most of the people in our house are allergic to cats, including me.
But I guess now, since the kids started feeding it, we own a cat?
I guess that's how it worked. I told one of our adult children who, you know, is begging to keep this cat, which really it's not my business at this point. If you want to take the cat and keep it, it's yours. I'm like, if you keep this cat, you have to fix this cat. You have to take care of this cat. You can't just, it can't be an outside cat and be having kittens under the house.
It's kind of a free range cat.
Yeah, but you still got to fix it. Do you really want 62 kittens we have to do something about now? I mean, we tried to get rid of this cat. We can't. And now you want little kitties?
Queen Bee is her name.
Okay, so actually, her name is Beef. It started because the only thing we had to feed the cat, because we're not cat owners, was Beef. And one of the kids started calling her Beef. Then she was Beefa. Then I made her Queen Bee because I thought it sounded better. And I will tell you that the neighbor has been calling it BB because she was calling it Basement Baby because it was in her basement. However, she has three cats and she can't keep it.
Bottom line, at the store, I was buying cat food.
Right.
So I am resigned to the fact that it's our cat.
I turn around and I'm like, what are you doing? Standing there. Oh, what does she like? You're more concerned with what the cat likes than what I want for dinner.
I'll make you a fancy feast if you'd like.
Okay. How about this? If you let me get a puppy, I'll let you keep the little pussycat.
Oh boy, stand by. More pets coming into the house. I can feel it. Follow me on Facebook, Dan Gaffney Show.
And if you want to stay tuned for this pet saga, you can find me on Instagram as Just Being Mom.
It's Dan and Becky Sterling every damn night.
Hey now, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I talk about one NYPD commander who couldn't see the forest through the trees. Coming up in moments on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Bad escape plan. Details later. The people of Walmart. Sterling Every Damn Night.
Sterling Every Damn Night. Sterling Every Damn Night.
Are you stuck with me in the car? It's me, the kids, in the car, except the kids are asleep, and I just keep talking. And that's good, because that means you're not going to fall asleep. Let me just adjust something here. There. So much better. Oh, my gosh, listen to that. 23 past the hour. You told everybody you were going to be home 2 hours ago, but you left 2 hours late. That is the problem. That's why you're having these problems. But the kids are asleep. And your significant other has now reviewed everything that you did wrong this weekend, especially with her sister. Because, ladies and gentlemen, you know that your sister-in-law, whether you're husband or wife or both in the bilateral sweepstakes, that your sister-in-law controls your marriage. It is an absolute fact. Last week, I wasn't on, not that you noticed, but thank you, Peter Thiel, for doing the show because you're funnier than I am. And I was at the beach. I wish I was down the shore, but I was at the beach, the Outer Banks of North Carolina. Now, if you haven't been to the Outer Banks, and it appears that most people have not, there's your house that you've rented at some outrageous price. There's the beach in front of the house, and then behind the house is the road. And on the other side of the road is nothing. Nothing. All that's at the Outer Banks at Duck and Kill Devil Hills or whatever it's called is way down there is a huge supermarket that is actually spectacular, but not the reason you go on vacation. But on the other side of the road, like in Santa Monica or in down the shore in Jersey or anywhere in Miami, anywhere in South Florida, on the other side of the road is a pizza, fudge shop, souvenir shop, skee ball, women of questionable repute, men of questionable repute, Cuban cigars hiding under the counter, especially in Florida. If you want a Cuban cigar, you can get it. No problem. You just get to be known in the cigar store. Buy a couple normal cigars, go in, talk to them, you know, three or four times, and then say, hey, listen, do you have any special cigars? You have any special ones? We're here alone. Point out you're here alone. And no, I don't care. I'm not a cop. And they'll sell them to you. They got them all under the counter. No problem with the Cuban cigars. Hasn't that embargo been lifted? Are we done now? Are we done proving to the Cubans that it's okay to befriend us now that all of your premium educated people have arrived here? Do you know in the Latino culture, there is a hierarchy that they never discuss? And the hierarchy goes like this. You are Cuban, there at the top. And then in the Latino community, not Walter Sterling, not my opinion, Puerto Ricans tend to be at the bottom. Why? You'd have to ask one of your Latino friends from South America, from Brazil or Chile. They seem to be neutral. But definitely Cubans are at the top of the Latino food chain. For a couple years, I consulted a Latino business, a Spanish-speaking business, media company. And there is Telemundo, and there is Univision. I forget which one NBC Universal owns now, but they own one of them. There's Telemundo, and there's Univision. And I noticed that they were all incredibly well-dressed. Every executive, every assistant, all these people were incredibly well-dressed. And they all drove white cars. There were two choices, as best I could see. There was three. There was a white Jaguar, white Mercedes, or a white premium American car, like a Cadillac. That's all there was in the parking lots at Univision and Telemundo. And I'm not talking about nice suits, the way you and I dress when we have to. I'm talking about suits and shirts that were made to an inch of the life of that person. Everything was custom made. The shoelaces were custom made. The shirt. I said to one of these guys, to Joaquin Blaya, I said, Joaquin, where do you get your shirts? Turnbull and Asser in London. Oh, now there's a Turnbull and Asser in New York and probably in Beverly Hills, but he goes to the original Turnbull and Asser in London with the monogrammed cuffs or the monogrammed shirt in London. And I finally asked Joaquin Blaya, one of the founders of Telemundo, the first programmer of Telemundo, first programmer of Univision, and then a CEO at Telemundo. I said to Joaquin, I said, these cars, are you all rich? Yes. Why? Because there are only two of us. All of the money goes to Telemundo or Univision. Like, wow, you know, that's a really good deal. And what I found about the Latino talent, the people on the air, they are all bilingual without an accent. They could all speak Spanish without an accent. They all spoke English without an accent. And what does that mean? It means they had 100% access to both economies. They were not blocked from any economy. And they were encouraged to join both economies. To live in South Florida as Latino, that's the life you want. Royalty, gods, incredible. Well, that was interesting, don't you think?
All news, more news, day and night around the clock, it's your news. You get it all when you set your dial to Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night.
All right, do you feel close to me? Here we are, stuck in the car with the family. Leaving the long weekend, it's spectacular, isn't it? The 18-wheeler. The 18-wheeler hates the four-wheelers. I hate to tell you, no matter how friendly you try to be or tag a ride with them through Texas, the 18-wheelers don't like four-wheelers. And do you know why? It's because they think you're sloppy. You don't put on signals when you need to. You park way too close to the road when you have to pull over to the side of the road. And when they need help, do you ever stop for a truck? that's clearly in distress, do you ever stop? Say, how can I help you? I do. It's the easiest goodwill mission you will be on. Truck driver on the side of the road, you figure they can be in touch with their dispatcher. Well, maybe their radio's broken. You could ask, your radio broken? Do you need anything? You want some coffee? Can I run down to Dunkin' Donuts and get you something and come back? That's what you do when you see an 18-wheeler stuck on the side of the road. They're not going to bite you. Most of them don't have guns. I've asked. I figured if I was a trucker with that load, I'd have a hide and carry, protect and carry, Mr. Carry. And I would have a gun. If I was driving an 18-wheeler, I'd have a gun. Oh, you betcha. Especially when you get to parts of the country like the Pennsylvania wilds and all of Montana. And it's just bleak. It's beautiful, but there's nobody there. There's no police box. There's no brake. There's no real side of the road, anything. It's terrifying. 855-831-1210. That's my phone number. 855-839-1210. It's a live radio show, and that's a live line. You call that number, and you'll be on the air. Listen for exciting things that I have to say, and you'll know when to call in. What'd I do? Oh, I see what I did. You know, don't let me run any equipment. It's a bad idea. Just bad.
The highest rate of divorce are lesbians. By a mile. Lesbian marriages have the highest rate of divorce in the world. The second level of divorce is heterosexuals. The lowest level of divorce is gay married men. Now, let me mansplain to you what's just happened. The lesbians find it very hard to stay married because there are two women involved. Heterosexual marriages aren't without their complications because there is still one woman involved. Did you know the word gay means happy? With good reason, because there are no women involved.
All right, Sterling on Sunday. Sterling every damn Sunday, 10 p.m. on the East Coast to 1 a.m. That means 7 p.m. on the West Coast to 10 p.m. 3-hour show on this station right now. How many hours is it on? If it's on 3, Steve Moore, you get a gold star. Greg Stocker, gold star. Phil, gold star. This week on Friday, we got the reports. We saw the press conference between President Putin and President Trump. And I listened very carefully, as you did, whether or not there would be peace in Ukraine, whether or not these two guys could make some scurrilous deal and end the fighting. I listened to that press conference very carefully, and what I heard was not reported in any real news source, lowercase news source. I looked on the New York Times website, the Philadelphia Inquirer, Chicago Tribune, Daily News, you know, the Daily News. I looked at all of these websites, and I did not see what I considered to be the lead. I didn't see NBC, CBS, ABC pick up what I consider to be the lead. Now, what I don't talk about, because it just sounds pretentious, I graduated from a terrific journalism school. I graduated from the Newhouse School at Syracuse University. Every bit as good as Columbia University, every bit as good as Missouri's and the University of Phoenix. University of Arizona communication schools, all the big communication schools, better than those. That doesn't mean I was better than those, but the Newhouse School is the deal. And therefore, I can listen in a certain way, the way you can, and say, well, that's what's really important. And this is what I heard. And this is what sounded to me like was really important.
In 2022, during the last contact with the previous administration, I tried to convince my previous American colleague that it should not, the situation should not be brought to the point of no return when it would come to hostilities. And I said it quite directly back then that it's a big mistake. Today, when President Trump is saying that if he was the president back then, there will be no war. And I'm quite sure that it would indeed be so. I can confirm that.
I can confirm that. Putin's translator said that every time Trump said, if I was president, there would have been no war, Putin says, that's true. I can confirm it. That, to me, was the banner headline across the front page, a full-page headline on the nameplate, under the above the nameplate. I can confirm that if this president had been president then, there would have been no war. Putin says that. And then something else Putin said at the very end of his time.
Next time in Moscow. Thank you so much.
What did he say? That wasn't the translator. That was Putin.
Next time in Moscow. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It's practically a Chicago accent. There was an American accent. That was an American. That was Russian without an accent. Putin speaks English without an accent. Putin speaks English without an accent. I'll bet you that those two met alone without translators and spoke to each other in English because Putin speaks English without an accent.
Next time in Moscow. Thank you so much.
Those are the banner headlines to me. Putin speaks fluent English without an accent. And he said, if Trump had been president, there would have been no war. I confirm that. I confirm that. Those are the banner takeaways. They never said they were going to come to an agreement. They never said they were going to end the war. None of our people went into those meetings announcing, we will end the war. No, we're just going to see. We're just going to start a real conversation about ending the war. But what did they come away with? They came away proving what Trump had been saying for years, that if he had been president at the beginning of the Ukraine war, there would have been no war. I got a phone number. How do you feel about that? 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. That is my phone number. That is the live line to Sterling Every Damn Sunday.
Sterling every night with the car is alive. Neon lights flicker, the patrons talking jive. Bullets over trailer parks under the moonlight sky. Detective Vic Ferrari always gets his guy.
Hey, Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to talk about a commanding officer who couldn't see the forest through the trees. So when I was a detective assigned to the NYPD's Auto Crime Division, we had a lot of different missions. They wanted us to pick off the garden variety, pain in the ass, car thieves. They wanted us to target the head of the snake, go after these organized gangs and crews to put a dent in auto crime. And back then in the 1990s, we were averaging 150,000 stolen vehicles across the five boroughs. So needless to say, the detectives in the auto crime division were very busy. And then things would crop up like people, catalytic converters, radios getting stolen. We would have to go after people like that. So we were working on different cases and all different things. And from time to time, you get a new commanding officer to run the unit. Now, a commanding officer, when he comes over, he usually brings over a couple of his trusted guys. So a new deputy inspector to head the unit will bring over his lieutenant, a couple of sergeants, people close to him, because he doesn't really know what he's getting involved in when he goes to a new unit. People are going to buddy up to him. They're going to tell him different things, and he doesn't know who he can trust. So he'll bring in his own people to kind of get the lay of the land. But it's important when you're working in organized crime, what they should do is give you a commanding officer who's got experience in organized crime. Coming from the patrol bureau, guys tend to be very rigid in their thinking. They can't think outside the box. Well, we got this commanding officer from patrol, and he started treating people in the unit like a bunch of children. Needless to say, he wasn't making many friends. Now, this guy made his bones utilizing the nuisance abatement laws of New York City. And what that is, if there's a building or a location and the landlord doesn't take action if there's a couple of felonies committed in, at his location, the city can seize that property, take it from him, or force them to sell it. So this guy was all rah, rah, rah about that because he used to close up these storefront places that used to sell weed. Well, it's a little different in the world of auto crime. So one day he comes into our office and he tells us how we're doing a great job, and he's got a list of addresses. And he keeps saying this one address. How come no one's doing anything? There's like been 30 arrests at 737 Melrose Avenue. And he's going on and on and on about 737 Melrose Avenue. Ferrari, you've had 10 arrests this year at 737 Melrose Avenue. This guy, you've got arrested at 737 Melrose Avenue. And all the detectives are looking at each other, smiling. And finally he says, hey, why aren't you going to do something about 737 Melrose Avenue? And one of the detectives raised his hand. He goes, Deputy Inspector, with all due respect, you're standing in 737 Melrose Avenue. That was the arrest location when someone would turn themselves in. Needless to say, he didn't last in the auto crime division too long. So for more behind the scenes NYPD stories, be sure to check out my new book, NYPD, Presumption and Dysfunction.
Walter Sterling is here with the latest and the greatest.
Here's Walter Sterling, fun radio at its best. Sterling every damn night.
All right, good evening, Sterling on Sunday. Excited to be with you. You can become the media. Here's your phone number, the live line, 855-839-1210. Edward, welcome to Sterling every damn Sunday.
Walter, great to be here. Thank you for having me on. I just wanted to comment a little bit quickly on the Putin speech. They also left out one of the most remarkable sentences was, we are building a businesslike and trustworthy friendship. He might have said relationship, but I think might have the last word wrong, but he used the words businesslike and trustworthy, and I thought that was wonderful. And that was coming after the history lesson that we sat for at the foot of Professor Vladimir, you know, who took us through the great relationship, the bonds that we had with this nation. And people forget that the first thing Hitler did when he went into Europe with this million-man army onto Russia is he stopped in Ukraine because there were 1.8 million Jews in that country that had the largest Jewish population there. And he murdered 1.6 million of those 1.8 million Jews, and he shot them, mothers, fathers, children, infants. They didn't care. And many of those folks were supporters of Russia, of the anti-fascism. And Putin has a long memory, you know, he has a very long memory, as do the Russian people. And many of those people, you know, were killed. But anyway, Trump, in his fashion, you know, he says at the end, he says, now what about 2025, Vladimir? You know, we've got something here. What about 2025? And Trump answers his own question. He says, you know, I'm here to save lives. We're going to save lives with this. And as I mentioned to you, I think the other day, I said, the horses are now out of the gate. They jumped out of the gate. For the, like the Belmont race or the Preakness, you know, it's a long race and it's going. But the mainstream media had set up this whole construct that you pointed out, which was, they're going to solve the war. It's in the war. They have a ceasefire. Everybody was obsessed with it. That's not going to happen.
It was amazing. All the headlines said, no ceasefire yet, no agreement yet. The war continues. I'm like, they never said they were going to solve it at that meeting. But they needed to have that meeting to have the meetings that will solve it. And our president has always taken the position, with all of the wars he's dealt with, is not a political position. He doesn't care which side it's on. He positions himself as, I don't want to see any more people killed. That's his take on every war. And he steps into it that I don't want to see any more people killed. And Edward, thank you very much for calling Sterling every damn Sunday. My phone number is 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. I believe the most important thing that came out of the meeting with Putin and Trump was this.
In 2022, during the last contact with the previous administration, I tried to convince my previous American colleague that it should not, the situation should not be brought to the point of no return when it would come to hostilities. And I said it quite directly back then, that it's a big mistake. Today, when President Trump saying that if he was the president back then, there will be no war. And I'm quite sure that it would indeed be so. I can confirm that.
I can confirm that. What Trump had been saying for years, if there had been, I had been president, there would have been no war. And all he says is, you know, he really could care less about the politics of it or who gets which land. Or he keeps saying, I don't want to see any more kids killed. And that is the noble and spiritual point of view. I'm Walter M. Sterling, 855-839-1210. That's the phone number, Sterling, every damn Sunday.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Goblin.
The secrets of the universe revealed in just seconds.
Sterling, every night, lost in space.
All right, Dave Scott, a Canadian, known Canadian, in an entire country that has no airline service, Air Canada on strike. And the Canadian side of that strike is saying to the Air Canada people, here are the things we've done for you, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and given you millions and millions of dollars. Like, really? You think those flight attendants feel they have been the recipient of millions and millions of dollars? Dave Scott, I think this is a very important aspect of our conversations. Dave Scott, an expert on space travel, portals, strange stories, Sasquatch, and this.
You've noticed it too, haven't you? Years passing too quickly after 2020. You are not the only one. This is a level 7 civilian safety transmission. Broadcast approved. Listen very, very carefully.
Hello, I'm Lee Harris.
You felt it too. The strange silence in crowded places, the way sunlight feels colder now, the way every year since 2020 hasn't really felt real. That's because it isn't. The world ended in 2020. Not metaphorically. Not symbolically. Literally, this is not a drill. This is not a joke. The last verified date of stable existence was September 9th, 2020. After that, the timeline split. No one noticed because you were not supposed to. What you call life now, this is a patchwork, a reconstruction, a backup environment built to simulate continuity, to keep you calm, to keep you asleep. You were not meant to live this long. You were scheduled for expiration, and now something is noticing. Every time you remember something from before, you fracture the copy. You make it weaker. That's why the things don't make sense. That's why your memories feel like dreams. That's why people repeat themselves. Because they're not people anymore. They're stabilization units. Their only job is to keep you from remembering that the world is gone. If you feel like you're being watched, you are. Because you're not supposed to hear this message.
Hello, I'm Lee Harris.
Dave Scott, how do you feel about this?
That weirds me out every time I hear it. You've played it for me three times right now. Yeah. And it, you know, when you're in the world that I am of the weird and strange and the absolutely unbelievable that happens to be true, you have to wonder about that. I got to ask, where did you find that?
I'm not allowed to say. It's a level 4 security alert.
I get that. It is. If, let's just say hypothetically, that is true. For a lot of people in my field, they could come up with a lot of different angles as to why that may be true. Going to levels of, what we call the Mandela effect. That is where you remember things the way they were, and then only to find out on this timeline they are not true, and that maybe some of them have never been heard of. Many people believe that the world that we are living in is actually a matrix, which is being controlled by people in shadow governments, maybe the Illuminati, the Bilderbergs, or some sort of power-broking group like that, that seems to have humanity at its coattails. The other aspect of that is, what if it's the aliens themselves that have actually come down and manipulated humanity to the point where we don't really know what's real and what's fake anymore?
Well, I'd say that's all viable options. Now, tell us about your adventures this weekend. You were, weren't you doing surveillance?
We were. And for people in the Philadelphia area who listened to the show on Friday, I mean, we had a good friend of mine, a professional paranormal investigator.
Merle.
Yeah. How did you enjoy that?
I love speaking to Merle because his name was Merle.
Yes. You know what? It's funny. His real name is Michael. His middle name is Merle. And a number of years ago, I actually said to him, he was asking me, how do I get more recognition in the paranormal? I said, you start calling yourself Merle. And he kind of laughed at me, rolled his eyes, and said, buddy, here's the thing. How many Michaels or Mikes are there out there? And how many Merles are out there? Everybody will remember a Merle, where nobody will remember a Mike.
Sage advice from a stagecraft expert.
Yeah, absolutely. But we went on a paranormal investigation at our local museum here called 108 Mile Historic Society in 108 Mile House, British Columbia, where I live. And we were trying to communicate with some ghosts there, which we did successfully through the techniques of a lot of modern paranormal equipment, and we were able to have conversations with some spirits, trying to figure out why they were there. We communicated with one spirit in the main house that basically said, yeah, we don't want you upstairs here. We don't want you to be around. You know, why don't you guys just go away? And we communicated with that. And in fact, I'm going to send you a picture from that house that I took, where in the background, you actually see a ghost cat. A ghost cat.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm going to send you that so the Midnight Misfits can actually look
I'll post
that
it up. Right away. I'll post it right away.
I will send it to you after our segment. And then yesterday, we actually went back out to the Flight 21 crash site, where 52 people passed away in a horrific accident, which is still known as Canada's largest unsolved mass murder. We were looking for Sasquatch. And you know what? We put our game trail cam up on a trail that is often used by animals. And that trail cam was up there for a week and did not take one photo. Not one. Now, that was odd. What else was odd was when we pulled up the into the area, the first thing that I noticed was a bird feather sticking out of a stump. Now, we left it there, not knowing who or what put it there. But the interesting part about a feather, like people will say, oh, it's just a feather stuck in a stump. No, this was placed in, point in, right into the stump. It's not going to fall from a bird to do that. So either someone or something did that. And the funny part about it is we actually have a pair of feathers, one hawk's feather and one raven's feather, at our Sasquatch gifting site, where we have some trinkets there that may attract Sasquatch to create a trading program with them, if we want to call it that. So we found that. And the other thing I wanted to say to you is, remember last week you kind of rolled your eyes at me when I said that we actually felt that we heard a Sasquatch break wind? And I know you rolled your eyes at me. We went back into that area, and we found scat that we could not recognize from any other animal.
Dave Scott, host of Spaced Out Radio. Spaced Out Radio. Go hear every show he's ever done at YouTube. Just search Spaced Out Radio. Sterling, every damn Sunday.
The people of Walmart, Sterling, every damn night.
A lot of times when you want to commit a crime, the stealing part is easy. The escaping part is the bad idea. And a lot of times your average, everyday shoplifter or thiever at a Walmart, largest corporation in the world, one of those amazing associates, a lot of times these guys figure out what they want to steal and usually come up with a pretty good idea of how to steal the item. But they get caught when it becomes escape time. Case in point, Covington, Tennessee. That's how most people say it is Tennessee. But how they say it there is Tennessee. Tennessee. These guys get into Walmart mid-morning. They steal over $14,000 worth of electronics. You know, the iPod, earbuds, and all that good stuff. And they found a great place to hide them. They hid the items in the tire center in the garbage. Came back, tried to pick it up. They were dressed as blue vested heroes. Get picked up at 3:30 in the morning. And thus, they're in trouble. Now, one of the guys got away. He's identified as 25-year-old Kiwin Clay. He's from Chicago. And the guy they caught was a feller named Reginald Williams, 26. Also from Chicago. Taken into custody in the parking lot. Kiwin Clay on the lam, as we're talking about. Again, the plan here of getting things in and out of Walmart illegally was poorly hatched. Start with how do you get out of Walmart without being detected? How do you escape? That's where you start. And then you end with what you're going to steal and how you're going to steal it. Helpful tips, exclusively from the people of Walmart. I'm Velo Hool, Sterling every damn night.
Lesbians in space, Sterling every damn night.
Being a lesbian, I have to come out to the woods every single morning to make sure that I am in touch with nature, grounded into the earth, and filled with lesbianism. I bring you on my sacred journey of lesbianism.
That came out of the press conference with President Putin and President Trump.
In 2022, during the last contact with a previous administration, I tried to convince my previous American colleague that it should not, the situation should not be brought to the point of no return when it would come to hostilities. And I said it quite directly back then that it's a big mistake. Today, when President Trump is saying that if he was the president back then, there will be no war. And I'm quite sure that it would indeed be so. I can confirm that.
I can confirm that. Fine. After the press conference, I went to the likely suspect home pages, the big newspapers around the country, and I thought that would be the headline. Putin confirms no war if Trump had been president. That was the news to me. Nobody had that on their homepage. Nobody had that in the article. All they all said was no agreement in Ukraine, yet no agreement, yet. Some of them were being clever. They did it in Russian, yet agreement on Ukraine. Neither side went into that meeting saying we're at that meeting to get a ceasefire. Neither of them said that. They just were like, okay, we're going to meet. We're going to see what happens. We're going to learn about each other. That's what they did. Putin comes out of it and says, oh, by the way, there would have been no war at all. None of these people would have died if Trump had been the president before. Nope, wouldn't have had a war. Then Putin said something else at the very end of his talk that to me is like, whoa.
Next time in Moscow. Thank you so much.
What did he say?
Next time in Moscow. Thank you so much.
No translator and no Russian accent. He was speaking English. That was Putin speaking English without an accent.
Next time in Moscow. Thank you so much.
Yeah. I'll bet what happened was those two had a meeting, Trump and Putin, without any translators, without anybody else in the room. They spoke English to each other. Putin speaks English perfectly without an accent. And they had the conversation that needed to be had. The real conversation. And then they came out, they were pleasant to each other, and have scheduled a series of events that will lead to a ceasefire. But they couldn't just lead to a ceasefire because Zelensky wasn't there. What were they going to do, Zoom call him? Those two, can you imagine, those two Zoom calling you? Oh my gosh, there's no pressure there. Gee, am I dressed right for the Zoom call? Have you had business Zoom calls where you've sat there and said, gee, am I dressed right for that? Do I have the right background? Do I have the right background for the Zoom call? Let me give you a tip for the business Zoom calls. You don't want to have kitten screensavers. You don't want to have a backdrop of juvenile design Snoopies, SpongeBobs. You don't want to have any of that. For a grown-up business Zoom call, you wear a pale blue blouse or shirt and a sports jacket or a jacket top if you're a woman. You don't wear big earrings, especially if you're a guy. You make sure that hair is flawless and the background is neutral. That's what you do on a business call. Don't make any jokes on the business call. And if you can get away with it, record it. Hit the record button on Zoom. Because that will come in handy one day. You want to pretty much transcribe everything you do in business because one day they're going to fire you. Yeah, even you. And you want evidence. You want to have evidence. But I think that's the most amazing thing that came out of that press conference with Putin and Trump. What Putin said about there would have been no war if Trump had been president, just like Trump had been saying it for years. Here's my phone number. I want to know how you feel. It's 855-839-1210. That's my phone number. It's live, a live line. Don't call up and share your feelings with the producer. It's a radio show. You call up to share your feelings with the host on the air. And what happens then? What happens then is you become the media. I know why it is so easy for you and I to believe that the media is lying, that the newspapers are incomplete. It's not because of what any president has screamed. It's because of something that happened to you. Years ago, you had an announcement for your local newspaper. And you went to the local newspaper and you handed them the announcement for the social pages, your wedding, your business opening, something like that, right? You went down to the local newspaper and handed them the announcement and the photograph or two. And then it ran that week in the local weekly. And what? It was on page 21 at the bottom of the page, and it was at least a 7-inch article that you gave them, and they carried 1 inch, no picture, and misspelled your name. That was your acquaintance with the quality of newspaper work, journalism in our country, and therefore you started to doubt everything that you read and everything that you saw. And you were right. You were right to challenge everything you read and everything you saw just based on your personal experience with a newspaper, which was bad. You gave them an announcement. Did they run the announcement? No. They chopped it up. They took 1 inch of a 7-inch article. They didn't run the photos, the nice photos you gave them. And that's what you know about the media. I'm Walter M. Sterling. My number is 855-839-1210.
Men only want one thing, and it's disgusting.
Then wash it.
Do you think that the country will see the United States will see the first gay president or the first woman president?
We already have it with Obama, so let's just calm down.
Got it.
No, Michelle is a trans.
I'm sorry, she's a what?
A transgender. We all know.
Oh, my gosh.
Listen to 3-4 times a day. You give us 22 minutes, we'll give you the world.
News. We salute our Midnight Misfits. Good evening. There's Charlie Green. Congratulations for being a Midnight Misfit. Keith Mortensen, Neil Paul, Midnight Misfits. You don't fit in. You only fit in here. This is it. Catherine Arthur, Richard Galamo, Joel Tuckman, Norma Willard, Linda Gianetti, Michael Oleksiuk, Sam Shepsby, Dan and Dolores Nastri of South Philadelphia, Marty Miller, East Meadow, New York, works for the Long Island Railroad, Jonathan and Suzanne Thompson, Rochester, Minnesota, welcome, Nick Thomas from Philadelphia, Janine Plaskin, Malika Hill, New Jersey, Keith Mortensen, Jimmy Beidler, I got it right, from Ole, Pennsylvania. Lynn Murray, Longhorn, Pennsylvania. Mark Ullman, Amber Falkert from Kansas City, Kansas. John Harrison, Audubon, New Jersey. Welcome. You are Midnight Misfits. You can get your Midnight Misfit membership card with Decoder right now at WalterSterlingShow.com. WalterSterlingShow.com. And we welcome you to the Midnight Misfit excitement, the Midnight Misfit club, the Midnight Misfit life, because that's who we are. We're the people, I'm looking for something, there it is. We're the people who were not picked for the teams at gym. We're the people who the gym teacher, the phys ed teacher, had to point to and say, Walter, you go there, you go over there, you go there. Anybody who's a misfit spent their junior and senior years in high school cutting gym. You had it down to a fine art, the way other people work in clay. You knew how to work around the system to cut gym. That was our whole mission. The way I did it with Dr. Wiseman, my best friend who became a doctor. I think there's a cause and effect between being a doctor and being my best friend, being a psychiatrist, and being my best friend. I think there's a cause and effect. I'm looking for something. I'm sorry. I'm a terrible host. I mean, how can you do a show like that, a network show like that? It's just insane. All right, Walter M. Sterling, every damn Sunday.
James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Thank you.
Hey there, welcome to Florida Stories. I'm your host, James Parker. For our first one, we're going to Tarpon Springs, and I wish I knew more of the backstory to tell you, because what I do know is a 35-year-old Florida woman goes into work one day, and it's 11-something in the morning. She gets upset about a disciplinary matter. That's all the details we have. She goes, leaves work, comes back, and she has what's described as a flammable liquid. The other employees do not let her in the office. And so she goes and puts the flammable liquid on a car in the parking lot and sets fire to it. So the headline, Florida woman sets car on fire after getting upset with her job, really undersells something that's probably an amazing story. Now, while this is an amazing story in its own right, it would be even better if we had those details. Don't you agree? Like, what could she have? Because here's the deal. It doesn't excuse her actions, but it does explain her actions, whatever the story is. And you and I have been upset at our job, and we've thought about, let's just burn this whole place down. But really, in reality, you and I both know that there's never really a good excuse to go take a bunch of gasoline and go try and set your place of business on fire, or your former place of business on fire, or conversely, someone's car in the parking lot. So there's not a rational answer to this, but don't you wish we knew what caused this irrational act? Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
We go to flight school. So in flight school in Florida, it's a Treasure Coast flight school. You take some classes and you go up with some pilots next to you, and they let you take the stick for a while after, you know, so many classes and you've demonstrated your proficiency. And so after a few lessons, when it's time for them to take the stick, you know, they get to do a little bit more. And then the next time they get to do a little bit more. And then the next time they get to do a little bit more. And then ultimately you get to fly on your own. Well, one of the students at Treasure Coast Flight School didn't make it to that last step, and he was not very happy about it. Much in the same way Anakin Skywalker was mad about not being given the rank of master. This student was so upset at his flight school that after they didn't let him do a solo flight, he went and sabotaged 10 of their planes. He went out to the airfield where they have those little two-seater aircraft, looks like, these little bitty guys. And he just started breaking throttles and bending stuff and cracking stuff. And so they had to finally get him off the place, arrest him. And they've got 10 of the planes in the shop right now. But what is going on with people getting mad and then just wrecking shop? Man, I've just never heard of that. Someone got mad and... Has that ever happened in your neighborhood where someone gets mad and they disabled 10 planes in a row? Yeah, same. I've never heard of that either. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
Next Florida story. This one is all about the body cam footage, because we have a guy who has been drinking some Florida sauce, and it's the middle of the day, and he's out in the middle of the street with his special lady friend, and they are arguing at a very loud volume. And so he's just out there in shorts and no shirt, and the cops show up and he won't calm down. Can you believe that? The drunk Florida man screaming at his significant other in the middle of the street during the day doesn't calm down when the cops ask him nicely. Well, the cops also start putting their hand on their gun, like, how do we know you don't have a weapon? And so in order to prove that he doesn't have a weapon, Florida man pulls down his pants and his drawers, and it's just totally exposed. See, I don't have a weapon. Right, kind of effective.
Where's my weapon? Where's my weapon?
A man drops his shorts bearing all in the middle of a neighborhood and in front of several deputies. Deputies in Flagler County, Florida, say they were called to the area after a report of someone acting belligerently and arguing with a woman in the street.
It's a weird situation, bro. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
For our next Florida story, this one is fun because of the stereotyping game that we all play when we listen to the news. You can pretend like you don't, but whenever someone is describing the details of a crime or some other interesting story in the news, you start picturing, you know, what that person looks like, and necessarily race is one of those factors. Well, in this one, we have the story of a guy who set up a drug deal that went bad, and so he shot a couple of them. And we have what I, you know, I'm not saying this never happened. This is probably rare that if for all the policemen of America or on planet Earth, really, to hear the description of the suspect. Who are we looking for? Well, you're looking for a guy that has red hair, pale skin, wearing a grill, you know, a grill like Nelly wears a grill, like Paul Wall wears a grill. This guy. And I'm not saying like he's the first ginger kid to ever wear a grill, but, you know, how many ginger kids are, I mean, this guy looks like Carrot Top when he was 18 and just waving a gun around on top of that. I'm not saying it never happens. Just saying that's kind of a super Florida twist on an otherwise normal sounding story. Charlotte County, Florida. You really outdid yourself. And this guy really, that's a new one. You got me on that one, Florida. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
For our next Florida story, I chalk this up to one of those. Well, it doesn't sound real if I tell you, so I'm going to let Channel 10.
Off the top at 11, a mother accused of abusing her own son, apologizing as she walked out of jail. Police say that she was caught on camera kicking her three-year-old down a hallway.
And we do want to warn you, the video is disturbing.
So they go through another like 30 seconds of this report saying, look, we just want to warn you before we play the video. This is really disturbing stuff. This is going to be uncomfortable. This is going to be offensive to some people, but we're going to play it. And they played it, and it's horrible. It's actually exactly what it sounds like. Why did they play that? That's so awful. It's so weird. It's the news equivalent of, you know why they did it. They didn't do it because of, you know, some sort of journalistic standard that this you needed to know about this story. It is very compelling video, and it pulls at your heartstrings to see someone hitting a kid. But it's the same thing as when someone smells something awful and they're like, oh my God, this is so awful. You need to smell this. Or, oh my God, this tastes terrible. You should try this. And, oh my God, this video is so bad. What do you do? Now you want to watch it, don't you?
Wait, hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What is it?
We have a babysitter who was, I thought he was just trying to help out. This is the, how do you say this? Holly Hill Police Department responded to a call. This baby was bleeding. Well, what's the problem? It was bleeding from his private parts. And the 29-year-old babysitter came up with several weird stories. But what it turns out was the 29-year-old babysitter tried to pull a freelance circumcision here on the baby. I mean, well, I say baby, two-year-old boy. Oh, my God. So I don't have the details. I don't know if he used like some safety scissors or if he had an X-Acto knife or I don't know, maybe he a weed whacker. I don't know. But, you know, the mom thought the babysitter was a little suspiciously religious. And I don't know what religion it is that you just can't stand foreskin. But that just Florida, you really outdid yourself this week. This is a truly awful series of stories on Florida stories this week. I almost feel like I owe you an apology. Hold my beer.
Wait, hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our last Florida story, we're going to North Miami where a Lyft driver responds to, you know, hey, you got a beep on his app. Let's go pick up this ride. And when he shows up, there's a guy there with a gun. Now, it's not unheard of for your Uber driver, Lyft driver, whoever, to get hijacked, but it's really dumb. I mean, just unbelievably, don't wreck your car. This is so stupid that the guy used his own account with his own history on it, with his real name tied to his real ID, tied to his real debit card. And he basically just got into a Lyft that he called and kicked the guy out and carjacked. They caught him immediately. It's just and he's got his phone on and they're just like tracking him on the app. Like, this is the dumbest, weirdest attempt. What the hell? Like, if you're that dumb, how do you even have a Lyft account? How do you know how to tether your debit card to it? And how do you, I don't know, how do you not know you're getting tracked? Like, how do you, it's just, I can't stand it. I can't, I feel like I'm getting dumber just doing this show. Hold my beer.
Wait, hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What is it?
I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story.
Sterling, Sterling, every damn night. No, no one you know makes better radio. And you know Sterling, Sterling is live from the laundry room. If the noise level gets higher, it's probably just the dryer.
Well, school starts tomorrow. In many parts of our country, between now and Labor Day, it should start after Labor Day. I've never understood this. The correct answer is September 6th, 7th, 10th. That's when school should start. It shouldn't start in the summer. Stupid. Because 40% of the schools, at least in America, are not air-conditioned. What? Yeah, every prison is air-conditioned. The worst bar in your city is air-conditioned. In fact, the worst bar probably has the best air-conditioning. The worst motels, best air conditioning. Worst air conditioning is like at a Four Seasons or a Peninsula. They don't have great air conditioning. Motel 6, you will freeze meat in those rooms if you want to. And then just don't look around too much. It's scary to really look at the room. Things hanging down that shouldn't even be there. My special needs kid, my special ed kid, my challenge kid, goes to a fantastic school that has taken her to new heights of academic success. She is a social autistic. You meet her, she'll talk to you, you'll know her, you'll like her, she will make you her friend. But academically, she's autistic. Last year, she couldn't write her name, she couldn't read, she couldn't do math. After 1 year in the special ed school, 1 year, she can do the 9 times table, she can write her name, she is happy and comfortable being autistic and having apraxia. She'll tell you she does, matter-of-factly. Everything to her is kind of matter-of-fact. And the challenge I've got today, and have had for months, is making it possible for her to go back there again this year. You know, it's just money. And our family does not have enough to send her back. I'm working in every way I can to get her back into that school and to pay for it. The correct answer is her school system should pay for it. But in order to make that happen, I'd have to hire lawyers and go to court a couple times because of some actions they took last year. Last year, they paid for it. Not a question this year. No, we're not going to do that. They want to stop her growth and stop her education. That's the only motivation they've got. They have the money. Oh, for God's sakes, they have the money. But it's not going to happen. And therefore, I've reached out to other people to help who can do it, who have the money. And all of a sudden, like, they're questioning the amounts. I mean, give me a break. What do you think? This is a hobby? Give a nice prayer for my kid. Thank you.
Now, the credit roll for Sterling Every Damn Night, featuring the extreme talent of Dave Scott, Thea Landon, Charles Van Zant, Peter Thiel, Dan and Becky Gaffney, Dave Iger, Sean Serino, Father James Drucker, Jill Brook, Steve and Selena, Alexander Castiles, David Gargaroff, Gene Stalker, Vic Ferrari, starring Walter Sterling, and I'm your announcer, James Copeland, a KWMDS production.